Now I would ask if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. We've talked much of little girls, of women, of dress. Now we come to this passage in Proverbs. And I have to say that this is a text that has unfolded for me over the course of the week, so this might warrant more than one sermon, and it will very much tie into our theme in Philippians in regards to the exaltation of Christ. At this time, this is God's Word being read. Give your careful attention to its reading. It is God's Word, wholly inspired by His Spirit. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10 through the end of the chapter. An excellent or a virtuous or a valiant woman, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together. Father, now we ask for understanding. We do depend upon your Spirit to open this text, to address us, and to speak to us. We pray that we might know our honor, splendor, our dignity by virtue of who we are in Jesus Christ, being conformed to his image, restored as your image bearers. We ask in his name. Amen. You notice who has the last word in this book of Proverbs, this treasury of wisdom. It is a word from a woman and words about a woman. Don't you find that intriguing, that the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, so important in the canon of Scripture as the wisdom of God, closes with a chapter, words from a woman, words describing a woman? The first section, verses 1 through 9, which we will not focus on, a king is reminiscing, really. A king is remembering and then quotes the counsel and instruction that his mother has given to him to prepare him to be the king, to take authority. It's the second section from verse 10 to the end that I read for you this morning that will be our focus. It is a poem, by the way. The English doesn't pick this up. An acrostic poem in Hebrew where each verse begins with a different letter of the alphabet consecutively. An acrostic poem extolling the excellencies of a woman. And I'm going to say specifically a woman because I think this addresses that gender universally, not just women who are married and have children, although it will move in that direction very much. I would say that this is really universal to all women, and I'm going to try to make that argument throughout the message. Extolling the excellencies, the virtues, what we were looking at one translation, one very strange translation that I didn't even know existed until this morning. A valiant woman who could find. You'd have to go to distant lands and shores to find a valiant woman. Interesting translation, huh? Now, as I've read this, and as many of you are familiar with this chapter, the Proverbs 31 wife, it's rather an idealistic portrait picture of a woman, right? Working with all delight. As I read it, it's almost like you could picture this woman smiling perpetually. Working day and night, involved in food, planting, cultivating, preparing, weaving, sewing, making, selling clothes, real estate ventures and vineyard cultivations, rising early, staying up late, kind to all, patient towards all, loving all, malice toward none. What a woman. Free, at liberty, look at all the things she's doing. Happy, prosperous. Children are rising up and blessing her. Imagine her children are not complaining and grousing about how they've been raised, but rising up and blessing her, and husband even in the gates publicly praising her. And that's not hypocrisy. Society knowing her and extolling her for all of her virtues, for all of her excellencies, for all the splendor of her honor and her glory. Who do we have here? What woman measures up? Do you not think this is a rather idealistic portrait of a woman? And surely it has implications for us all. Highly gifted, well-balanced, incredibly privileged woman. Why this picture? Why this portrait? At the end of the Treasury of Wisdom, Proverbs. Did you ever ask that question? Does it make you feel more guilty? I was introduced as I went to the library, and hopefully friends that frequent the library wouldn't see me, but I was taking the women's magazines off the rack and reading them, right? And I was introduced to mommy guilt. So reading through this text, does this encourage more guilt? How far short I fall of this idealistic picture of the woman who fears the Lord? Does it make you feel more discontented, as we all do, but particularly, and I could be charged here, it's a gross generalization, I know, but we tend to compare ourselves to one another, and comparing ourselves to the Proverbs woman, how far short we fall. Could that not incur more of a discontentedness, being dissatisfied? I don't quite measure up. I compare myself to others. And here I have this golden standard. Is this portrait meant to ramp up your to-do list or to update your personal goal chart? To make you more inspired, ambitious to accomplish more things? I'm bound and determined I'm going to be the Proverbs 31 woman.
reading the various magazines in part, you would think that that advice is given to you day by day. This is to make you feel in despair. Perhaps you've tried the various tricks and pop psychology and nothing seems to work. And you feel yourself a failure. You feel yourself ugly. You feel yourself disjointed. Perhaps guilty, distressed, anxious over your self-image. Why the portrait of a perfect woman? Why portrait of a perfect woman? You know it's not to make you feel guilty, put you into despair, to create depression, to inspire you moralistically. Oh, I can do this, I can do this. Two reasons. First is to remind you of the past, and second, to nourish your hope for the future. To remind you of the past and to nourish your hope for the future. To remind you of the past. This is such a rich text, and I know baptism and what. We don't have all the time to look at the argumentation. But this portrait is meant to remind the people of God, not just women, the people of God, the church, of a very distant past in which human beings were created in the image of God, male and female. And in the state of innocency, given all honor and dignity, there was more to be gained, to be sure, but all honor and dignity, really the glory of God. We could say, and I'll bring this up a little bit later, I think, it describes our original parents, Adam and Eve, as in the garden, naked and not ashamed. Naked and not ashamed. It was after the fall that their eyes were open, the text says, and that they saw that they were naked and that they were filled with shame and guilt. But in that estate of innocency, with all that honor and glory, dignity as image bearers of God, male and female, and looking at one another as male and female and seeing the image of God reflected in each other and being naked and not ashamed. It was because in some sense they were clothed in a glory. They were clothed in a splendor. They were clothed in honor. That's the point. And so this text is to remind us of a past in which, yes, we could say it was idealistic, but no, it was realistic. There was a time in our history in which as human beings we had all dignity and honor. There was all strength and splendor. And this description of the woman is meant for Israel to take us back to the garden, to the way things used to be before the fall. That's why it's so idealistic. No woman today can measure up. No woman throughout history could measure up to this. But it's not given to Israel so that you have a standard, a golden standard by which you could measure up. It is a picture, a portrait to reminisce, to remember. That theme comes up. It's Lemuel as king reminiscing and remembering the oracle of his mother, and this is what you have. Now you have an acrostic poem describing this woman, and it is meant for you to remember, to look back to what you were in all your dignity, in all of your honor, all your splendor, all your majesty as image bearers of God. Yes, reflected in a woman, female, but no less in the male. You could see, do you see, and you'll have to look at the scripture and meditate on this a little bit. The emphasis on the hands, how she uses her hands, and I think literally it's palms, it's like an open hand. How fruitful and prosperous she is, and how diligent. And verse 17, verse 25, with all strength. I think verse 17, it's really physical strength. I think In verse 25, it's more of a moral fortitude. But you see the emphasis on the hands. Verse 13, verse 16, verse 9, verse 20, verse 31, continually pointing to the hands, to the open hands, to the palms, and how fruitful she is in all of her strength and all of her dignity and all of her splendor, how fruitful and prosperous she is. What honor! What glory! What splendor! It seems like everything she puts her hands to flourishes. It's to remind you that there was a time when in the integrity of who we were as creatures of God, this is what we were before the fall. You have hands, you have this emphasis on food. Provision, she's planting vineyards, garden. Does it not kind of ring a bell? Bring you back? Verses 14, 15, 16, 18. Words. So important. Verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Then look from verse 28 to the end. Look at the emphasis on the words. It's all about praise. It's all about honor. She herself speaks words of kindness. So honorable. So dignified. So wonderful. Majestic in the way she uses her words. Now look at how words are used back. And really, the poem itself is silent up until verse 26 when it says she opens her mouth. Now what happens in verse 28? Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her. Many daughters have done nobly. Here's a quote. You have excelled them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gate. You see all this praise, honor, blessing, splendor. You see, it's now reflected and expressed in words. That honor is seen. It's experienced. It's felt. And now she's exalted in the proper sense. All over the place. Children, husband, in the gates, throughout society. Don't you see? This is a text that is meant to call us back to the honor, to the splendor, to the glory of what we were as creatures of God, male and female. And I have to say, I raised it in my prayer, and it needs to be brought up again in the future, is how in Western civilization, not perfect, but the place of a woman was far more protected and preserved. That honor was seen, yes, through a glass darkly, not perfectly. And yet how we're losing that. Remember New Year's Eve, Germany, Cologne, Germany? And women running through a gauntlet. And I have to say, of Mideastern and North African men who plummeted, exploited, hurt many women, we could be losing that. I should say there is an emphasis on clothing I've been mentioning through the service. And again, look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Interesting, huh? Now, throughout the text, she's talking about how she makes clothes for herself. She makes clothes for her children. She makes clothes to sell. She's making all this emphasis on clothing, right? But here in verse 25, clothing is used as a metaphor. Strength, and I think the strength here, as opposed to verse 17, which talks about, I think, a physical strength, this is, I think, fortitude. It's used as a fortress that's strong, where people run to. This woman in all of her glory and splendor is strong. She endures. She's steadfast. She's patient. She will let nothing detract her from what she knows her calling and her destiny is. She's strong. And then it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. This word for dignity really means a splendor. It's a representation of power, of glory, of splendor, often used for a king's robe, royal robes. That's interesting, isn't it? So strength, like a fortress, enduring. And a splendor, a glory, an honor, like a king's robe, royal dress. And these things are her clothing, which means this is like evident. When somebody comes into the room, often what you see, particularly with a woman, is how is she dressed? You know, the red carpet. Well, how is the celebrity dressed? Well, what dress was she wearing? Well, who was the designer of the dress? And so we're looking at dresses. And when a woman usually comes into the room, right away, look at the shoes, nail polish, dress, oh, things match, what? Here, it's strength, fortitude, patience, steadfastness, and a power, a splendor, like a king's robe. A dignity, that's how our translation translates it. An honor, a splendor, imagine a dignity in her bearing, in her calling, in her behavior, even in her words. Well, don't you see, all of this is meant to point back. How far short we fall, women? I know. I had three sisters and a mom. Minister for 30 years. How far short we fall. How far short we all fall. But you see, the point here is, let's look back. Not to make guilt, not to make us guilty. Okay, to bring conviction, yes. But I don't think that's what it's here for primarily. It's meant for us to reminisce. This is what we were. Now, in covenant with God, what shall we be? You see? Look back. But then have hope nourished for the future. And that's why I think this text is here. I should say, and I didn't fully unpack verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. Smiles at the future? The word for smile is like jokes, has fun, it's laughter about the future. How many of you, and particularly women, but men, but how many women are so anxious about the future? Homeschoolers? What does this week bring for homeschooling? A move that might be in the making? What? Trouble at home? Trouble at work? What's going to happen tomorrow? How anxious we are. And look at this. This is the woman who looks at the future and she laughs, she jokes, she amuses others. Huh, there's no concern about the future. This is what we were meant to be. Now, why reminding? We have lost it. And it does remind us of pain and oppression, curse, dust, and death. Because we've lost that honor, haven't we? Men and women lost it. There's shards of it, to be sure, but it's marred. Yet this text also nourishes the future, the hope. Portrait is given to cause us not to regret so much, not to have guilt, grief, but look forward. This is no trick. No trick of easy pop psychology. The portrait is given that we might be assured. The portrait is given that you as women might be assured. That as surely as the Spirit is within you, you are being remade, you are being restored in the image of Christ. Can I go so far as to say you are clothed in Christ? I didn't go into all the ins and outs of the garden, being reminded of our splendor, of our honor and glory, naked and not ashamed, falling, disobeying God, eyes open, seeing our nakedness, knowing we are ashamed, falling, death, dust, oppression, pain, grief. And then God comes along and what does He do? He slays animals, He makes skins of clothing, and the text is very clear, He Himself clothes our original parents.
a new honor, a new glory, a new nobility by virtue of a sacrifice made, a blood sacrifice. That's how now we're clothed. But it has a glory. So the portrait is given that we might be assured of a restoration. Not in the popular culture. There is so much advice and counsel out there. Some of it is good, and I would say, follow the diets and do the exercise, strengthen your abs and other parts of your body, whatever. Yes, 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 yes. The magazine O, the Oprah magazine, it's the year of you. Unlock the secrets. Oh, this is great. Unlock the secrets of true motivation and watch your life soar. Cosmopolitan magazine. Shut down stress. Tricks for morning, noon, and night. Shut down stress. Tricks for morning, noon, and night. Yeah, go ahead. Trick yourself. See how far that gets you. Self magazine. This is great. You talk about being in bondage. 147 ideas to motivate you at the gym, work, and beyond. 147 ideas? I have a hard time keeping one idea in my head. 147 ideas. Oh, how rich. And how vain. And how futile. The Red Book. Get slim and feel strong. Get slim and feel strong. 20 weight loss shortcuts. 20. 147 ideas I'm juggling, and now I got 20 ideas for weight loss. Here it is. Tricks. Ideas, shortcuts, secrets. Is that the way to restore your honor and dignity as women? How do you address the guilt, deep guilt, the discontentedness, the depression, the despair? All kinds of things that might be helpful. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm talking about what is at its heart. The deepest root of your being, of your psyche, what can reach that to restore and help? It's not going to be pop psychology. Therapy may be in order, but that's still not going to reach that deep guilt. You know where it's found. The woman who fears the Lord. That is, loves the Lord, trusts the Lord, does not want to displease the Lord, trusts the Lord, loves the Lord, she shall be praised. The book opens with that. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and here it ends. And she who fears the Lord shall be praised. There's wisdom there. Point of the baptism. We need help, all of us. And not help from within, the year of you. We need help from without, from God Himself. And what the baptism demonstrates, and this is by God's ordination, He set this up. This is His sacrament. He speaks and He demonstrates that there is a way to restore your honor, your dignity, your splendor, your majesty, as women, as men. Beginning from infancy, and it's found in Jesus Christ. All kinds of other things may be helpful along the way, but not deep. Only by the Holy Spirit sent by Christ can your splendor, honor, dignity, glory be restored. Strength, fortitude, smiling at the future, a new destiny in Jesus Christ. Come, receive Him, follow Him. Don't neglect, don't be indifferent, don't be apathetic, don't blow this off, don't be skeptical. Come, receive, rest in Him. A new destiny.
given to you graciously, lovingly, freely, from the very hand of God, your Creator. For all of you were baptized into Christ, and all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ. There's honor. There's dignity, splendor, majesty, glory. Now may God bless the women of this congregation, infant, young, old, that more and more you might see that glory restored, that honor and dignity restored to you, and that as a congregation, as a people, we might be blessed by beholding the glory of God in you. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this word, and we would ask that you would now impress it, seal it to our hearts. Give us the ability to meditate through the course of the week, that we might nourish our souls on sound words, and that we might behold your glory, your splendor, honor and dignity in ourselves as you are at work within us, restoring us in Christ. Bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.